take your time with it, okay? You can, you know, be quick about it, all right? We don't want to be here all night as you're sitting there. Don't knock it over. Put some attempt to it, okay? But the concept is, Jane, go ahead. Visitors could go first. Concept of Jenga is to take a piece from somewhere in there that they feel is loose enough, and then take it to the top. It's a very simple concept. You don't want to take the wrong one, because if you take the wrong one, what happens? It falls over. And whoever causes it to fall over, ooh, that was close. You're wiggling. There you go. Whoever causes the tower to fall over is the loser. Look, he knows what he's doing. Ooh, it's getting a little bit. And as you look at it, they're studying and they're seeing which piece can I afford to move out of this structure. It's going pretty good. Now, as we're sitting there, you guys keep on going, and I'm going to talk up here. What all the kids saw, and the wise man builds his house upon the rock. We can get all the kids up here to sing it, but that's okay. For the wise man builds his house upon the rock, the foolish man builds it on the sand, and the concept behind it is the foundation. The foundation is so important. Keeping, and then not only having a strong foundation, but keeping that foundation strong is equally as important. If you have a house and you've got a nice foundation to it, no cracks, there's no water damage or anything that's like that, but if you don't have positive drainage, and you get a nice heavy rainstorm that comes in, what's going to eventually happen to that foundation? It gets weak, right? Because you're not taking care of it. You're not keeping up on the maintenance. You can start with a good, strong foundation. But if you don't keep up with it, and you don't take care of it properly, and you don't watch and make sure that, oh, there it goes. Thank you, gentlemen. Now what I'd like for you to do before you go is put it back. Yeah, just stack it right back up like it's supposed to, like you started. Now, with that foundation, it can start off really good. And it can start off really strong. But then if you don't have it where you're taking care of it, and you just kind of let things happen, and you have that water that comes in, you don't have that positive drainage so that, you know, and your gutter's taken care of so that water is getting pushed away from the house. Okay? That's the whole purpose of a gutter, is to take water that's coming down and push it away from the house, away from the foundation, so that your foundation stays strong. If your gutters don't work, well, where's Josh Rogers at? He's in the back. He did gutters for a bit, right? And what happens, Josh, if those gutters aren't on right? Well, you get water everywhere in the house. That's right there. And it's going to come down. It's going to leak. Eventually, it's going to get down to the ground. Eventually, it'll be right by that foundation. And as time goes down, that foundation gets weaker and weaker. And eventually, water comes into it. Thank you, gentlemen. You can have a seat. Congratulations, Clyde. We'll give him a round of applause, but we're too lazy to do that, so it's okay. But the concept of it, of your gutters, is to take the water that's coming down and push it away from the house, because of the simple fact that what seems like it's nothing harmful. I mean, we go out, kids go out and they play in the rain. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go out and I'd play in the rain. I had fun with it. You know, my son Blake, he sees a puddle, he thinks he needs to jump in it. And it's really wonderful when you're walking right beside him and that mud just kind of kicks up all over you and he just thinks it's the greatest thing. But to us, water may not seem like it's that bad of a thing when it's coming down from the sky and we're sitting inside our house thinking, well, I'm covered. I have no leaks in my roof. I'm okay. But we don't realize this, is if we've got those problems, with our foundation. We don't realize it until all of a sudden it gets to the point where it's so bad that you get a heavy rainstorm and you go down into your basement and all of a sudden you've got water everywhere and things ruined. Why? Because the foundation, although it started out really strong, has been weakened. It's been weakened. Little by little, I almost said inch by inch, but the song. The other day, Marcus and I were singing that as we were going to the park. But little by little, slowly over time, it starts to deteriorate and that water finds a way in to your house. And you got problems. And once it does find its way in, the next rainstorm that happens, that's a bad rainstorm, guess what happens? It gets worse. And it gets worse until you do something about it. Now, as we think of this, with our Christian life, there's a lot of times when we're sitting here and we're thinking, okay, what can I afford to move out of my Christian life? Well, that one seemed a little bit tight, but maybe, just maybe, I can get away with getting rid of it. And we take it out and we lose it. Maybe it's Wednesday night services. Do I really need to go to church Wednesday night? I don't really feel like I need to. Because I feel like my structure is still pretty strong. But we don't realize we just created a hole in our foundation. To us, it's something that's so small and so insignificant. And we sit there time and time again and think, okay, what else can I afford? And we might tinker around with it and say, okay, this one seems pretty loose. It doesn't seem like it's that important. So it's okay if I don't tell anybody else about Jesus. I don't need to pass out a track. It's not that important. I'm still okay. Foundation, it's a little bit, but still pretty secure. And we sit there and we'll analyze our Christian life and time again we may put this on top. And instead of maybe Wednesday night, now we have added to our life something that is a little bit different. And we add, you know, something that's outside influence, that's going to be a negative influence on our life. And we add that into our life rather than the strong foundation that we had underneath. And we'll add something else to it. And we'll add some other type of worldly influence. And we'll sit here and we'll pull out little things just like how they were playing the game. And then we switch it with something different. When we look at this passage here, in 2 Peter, the foundation that we have is faith. Right at the very beginning. The order that you have is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. This is so strong of a foundation that Peter goes out on a limb and says in verse 10, "For if you do these things, ye shall, not maybe, but you shall never fall." That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. You shall never fall if you keep your foundation to this 8 core things right here. When you look at your life and you look at your foundation, you look at who you are, do you have these 8 core things or is there a hole that's missing? When we think of faith, I think of number one, of course, the obvious thing is salvation. We can't mess around with salvation. You mess around with salvation and the whole thing just destroys. You can't tinker with that. Okay? We mess with salvation, that's death and hell. Okay? But once we have that, when we think of faith, then we think of how we have to, once we have faith for salvation, how we need to continue in our faith. And we need to strengthen and build our faith so that it's even stronger. But there are times when we're sitting there and we're thinking about faith and we're thinking of the simple fact that with faith, I put my faith that God's going to provide for my family. And because my faith is in the fact that I know that God's going to take care of me, I know that I can tithe. That's a piece of faith. That's stepping out and saying, okay, God, this is part of my foundation right here. I am going to, I don't even know if I can get it back in there or not. Yeah, I can. But there's my faith in tithing. I trust God. I know that He's going to take care of me because I'm stepping out in faith. And it's part of my core foundation. The second that I sit there and say, well, I don't know if I can tithe or not, I'm saying, well, I don't know if God's going to provide for me or not, I've weakened my foundation. Because I have no faith. There are different degrees of faith. The Bible talks about how we can be filled with faith. Well, if you're filled with faith, then that means that there's a level that you can have. Okay? You can fill a cup. But just because you fill a cup doesn't mean that it's full. It's just that it's filled. Now, how much of a cup, how much that you pour into a cup to make it filled can vary by person to person. You have a kid that's maybe 3-4 years old, and you fill a cup up, you're only going to fill it halfway. Why? Because you fill it all the way up, odds are you're going to be cleaning up half of it. So you may fill it with just a portion of it, but it's still filled with something. We can have different degrees to our faith. We can have enough faith for salvation, but not enough faith for tithe. We can have enough faith for salvation, but maybe not enough faith that God's going to take care of my needs. That God's not going to take care of my marriage. That God's not going to take care of my children. We constantly worry about this and that and how are things going to be. And when we worry, we're losing our faith and we're making our foundation weaker. Why? Because we're removing the faith, which is the core foundation that we need. It has to be there. Otherwise, everything else that gets put on top of it becomes weaker. So I have to depend on Him. I have to make sure that my foundation is strong. Because as I add things to my life, well, you want to have a strong faith. Well, you better have strong faith because God's going to add to your family. Maybe you get another kid. Maybe He moves you away from your family members. Well, maybe He moves your spouse to Korea. And if your faith is strong in the Lord, then you can continue to depend on Him and your foundation, your core part of your Christianity is still intact and still strong. And when the winds blow, as the kids sing the song, everything is still strong. But the second that we start pulling pieces out and moving them around and saying, what can I afford to move? What can I afford to lose? We don't think of what happens when the storm comes. So instead of our faith, we replace our faith with doubt. Can God provide? Then what happens is we replace faithfulness with laziness. Instead of being faithful, we become lazy. Instead of being faithful, we say, okay, I've got my faith in God, and because of my faith that's there, I should step out and be active for the Lord and be faithful. Be faithful to church, be faithful to my wife, be faithful to my children, be faithful to my Lord in every aspect of my life. But once we stop being faithful, then we start to develop laziness. We don't put as much effort into it. Jason and Clyde and I were talking about wanting to go out shooting on, we were planning on yesterday, but then they had the ladies meeting, and I think it was Julia that was saying, well, why are you going to go shooting? Because you're going to go to sportsman's camp and shoot a bunch of guns then. It makes no sense. And I said, well, you know, sportsman's camp is a competition, though. And Jason's like, I don't want to be showing up like I was last year when Adam beat us in pretty much almost every single category. And Clyde's laughing, but he was there too, and he lost just as much. But in order for us to get better, we have to practice. But to put it to faith, or put it to the test. If we're going to get more proficient in that, with that 40 caliber handgun or 9mm, yeah, squeeze the trigger, put some rounds through it. And the more that you do it, you start to develop that muscle memory. You start to develop the right technique and the right practices, and you correct the different things that you're doing. Maybe your finger is not on the trigger just right, and you're pulling it to the side, and maybe you're not taking that breath and holding it before you squeeze the trigger, and all these different things. And then the more that you do it, the more you can eliminate some of those errors. But you have to practice. You have to continually do it. And if we're not putting to practice our faith and we become lazy, we take things for granted. Because we've replaced our core of our faith with laziness. The second one is our virtue, our morals. Just almost as equally as important as our faith. Well, you mess with your morals, your foundation's really weak. You start introducing all of these additional things. And the thing is with our virtue, right now, a big thing that is in our country right now that's got a lot of focus is this Game of Thrones. And they'll say, oh, it's got a great storyline. I was talking with a coworker of mine that watches it, and I said, what's that all about? And he said, you don't want to watch that. That's not for you. Why? Because it's filled with junk. A bunch of sensuality and different things like that. And he even said, as an atheist, don't watch that show. An atheist is telling me, don't watch that show because it is full of a bunch of stuff that you should not be watching if you're a Christian. That's pretty strong. But people are watching it. And we'll sit there and we'll say, well, you know, find a piece here. What's really that bad if I dip my morals just a little bit and watch a show like that? So we introduce that to our life. It can't be that bad. It's just a show. Our music. Let's see. Should have Clyde come back up here. He's better at this. We take it out and say, you know what? What's the point if we listen to this or that? What's the point? It's just me. It only affects me. It's not that bad. It's just I like to listen to it. And the more that we continue to do this, and the more that we change our morals and our values that we have, it used to be that you couldn't even use any type of language on TV. I mean, there was nothing. It used to be that a married couple on television, in their bedroom, they had separate beds because they didn't want to depict two actors. An actor and an actress that are not married in real life, that they would be sharing the same bed. And so it was a common practice for the television shows that in those rooms they would have a his and her bed. Because there used to be some morals. There used to be some morals in our television. There used to be some morals in our music. There used to be some morals in our lives. But instead, what we've done is we've replaced those morals with what we have today, with the celebrities and everything else that act and do as they want. And we've introduced them into our lives, and they have a more of an influence on us than the Word of God does. And then we wonder why we're weak as Christians. And we've allowed this outside influence to come into our lives and to sit there and to mess with our foundation here. And we allow our morals to change. We say, oh, this show's not too bad. This music's not too bad. Maybe this friend is not too bad. Yeah, I know that they drink. Yeah, I know that they swear. Yeah, I know that they do this and that. But that's okay. I like them. They like me. I can relax around them. And they influence our children. And we allow our morals to dip and to change, and our foundation here gets weaker and weaker the more that we allow outside influence into our life. The more that we allow the worldliness in. I can dress how I want. It's not a big deal. In our society today, there's this sweeping movement of saying that it's the man's responsibility not to look. That a lady can dress however she pleases, but if a guy looks at her and stares or makes a comment, he's in the wrong. And it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because the Bible tells us, hey, that we're supposed to be cautious about what we wear. The Bible even says that if you show your thigh, you're naked. So we're supposed to be conscious about that, about how we look and about how we appear. During the Roman time frame of Nero and all of that, they could tell a Christian by the way that they looked, by their dress. Because ladies, back in that time frame, it was very loose and very wild, crazy times. The ladies and the men both were immoral, ungodly. They did whatever they wanted and acted however they wanted. And yet they had Christian ladies that covered themselves up. Their bodies were not on display. And as a Roman soldier would walk past, he could look over and identify a Christian woman by her appearance alone. On top of that, too, men were able to be identified as well by their appearance and how they walked and treated other people. Why? Their foundation was correct. They didn't mess with their virtues. They didn't mess with their morals. They said, I want to watch and be careful because, number one, I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to make sure my foundation is right. But secondly, too, is because I have children that are coming up. My three boys and my daughter are watching everything that I do. And if I start them off with a weak foundation because of the changes and the decisions that I've done in my life, because of the choices that I've made, because of the way that I treat their mother, because of the way that I interact and I watch on TV and the music and the language and my voice, if I start them off with a foundation like this, all they're going to do is push the envelope even more. And they're going to try and make changes in their lives. But the problem is, their foundation's already weak. One bad move and they're done. That's it. And my children can lose the struggle with sin and everything else because I didn't set them up with the right foundation. Because I was too busy poking holes in mine and seeing what I could get away with, what wouldn't affect me that much. David's great sin cost him 4 children, let alone the influence that it took place on the country, let alone the influence it took on his children that survived. Wow, it's just me. It ruined a lot of lives. And we can hide and we can think that our sin is only towards us, but our foundation is so important, we can't mess with that. So we replace moral behavior with doing whatever pleases us. If it makes me happy, then it must be right. But the problem is back in the Bible times, there's a couple of verses where it says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And they were ungodly people. We replace our foundation. We have our faith and we have our virtue. And if we replace our faith with laziness, we replace our virtue with doing whatever we please, then what happens is with our knowledge, the knowledge is our studying of the Word of God. When we study the Word of God, then we attain knowledge. If we don't study the Word of God, we can't get knowledge. You think of people that go and... Jason, if you could come put that back together for me. I'll probably ruin it a few more times. So you'll probably get a little bit of exercise. But I heard you need it, so it's okay. The problem with our knowledge is we have to study. But to put some effort behind it. If we don't sit there and we don't read our Bible, if we don't study it, if we don't find out what's in there, we cannot attain any knowledge. If we don't have any knowledge, we won't have the wisdom to make the right choices in life. So then you're set to make your own decisions based off of what you think. Once again, as we said earlier with our virtue, we already know that if we make decisions based off of our own decision making, usually we make the wrong decisions. That's just the way that we are. So we end up replacing our knowledge with laziness to study. Instead of waking up and reading our Bible, waking up and starting in prayer, we sleep in just that little bit. Oh, what's it really going to affect? I've been raised up in church. And I look out around here, and I see the majority of people that are here been raised up in church. We know the stories of David and Goliath. Do I really need to read it again? We know all the different stories. We know the New Testament and all the miracles that Jesus did. Do I really need to read it again? I'm okay. And we replaced that desire to continue to gain and attain knowledge with complacency. We sit there and we think, well, I'm good. I'm okay with where I'm at. I know enough to satisfy me. I don't need to know anymore. And we weaken our foundation. Thank you. Now I'm going to come down there and ruin again. But this time maybe I'll have Clyde come up and do it. So we have our faith. We have our virtue. We have our knowledge. And then it says, and to knowledge, temperance. Once again, going back to the foundation, to the structure that we're supposed to have. The word temperance is talking about our self-control, our restraint, our filter. Some people have no filter. They just say whatever comes to their mind. Some people have no restraint in their actions. They just do whatever they want to do. They may call somebody something. They may backstab them. They may gossip about them. Rather than showing some restraint and just keeping your mouth shut. Because they have no control. But there's one thing that I've been trying to teach my boys is to control yourself. Control your emotions. Think things through. Hey, take a second. Think about what you're doing. Think about the actions. What's going to happen if you don't have that control? Why? Because I want him to have a strong foundation. My goal for my children is for them to have a stronger foundation than what I was given. And I was given a good foundation by my parents. I'm very fortunate in that area. But my goal is to take that and make their foundation even stronger than what I started. And so I want to teach him, have some self-control. understand that you can't just say whatever you want to say. You can't just do whatever you want to do. Would it be nice to sleep in? Sure. And tomorrow, when I get up for work, it would be really nice to sleep in. And I could probably get away with it with one day. My boss may give me a little bit of a cross-eyed look. But if I continue to do it, it's not going to go over pretty well. But I'd like to. Hey, I would love to start the work day out at 10 o'clock and be done by 2 or 3 o'clock and get paid for a full 8 hours. Somehow it doesn't work that way. I don't understand that. Why not, you know, but it'd be nice to be able to do what I want. But I've learned there's a lot of times where I don't, even though I want to do something, I'm not going to do it because I know it'll hurt my foundation. So I hold off on it. Boy, here's the hard one too. So we add to our faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and the knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Oof, patience. We don't like that one. You ever go to Burger King or McDonald's and they take more than 3 minutes to get you your food? And everyone's like, come on, what is wrong with you? I wait 10 minutes and you're sitting there thinking it doesn't take but 7 minutes to cook fries or 3.5 minutes or whatever it is. It shouldn't take this long and it only takes 55 seconds to cook a burger. What, you know, what's wrong with this place? My drink is flat. What's wrong? You know, don't they understand the carbonation? And we sit there, we get so impatient. And that's just with fast food. Jump in a car. With Jason in Great Falls when people are going 30 and a 35. And you're like, what's wrong? And the person beside is going 30 as well. And so you can't even pass anybody. And you're stuck going 5 miles below the speed limit. And we're like, what is wrong with these people? And then we give them the look as we drive by and we see that it's just a nice, sweet person that's just out just enjoying themselves driving. And we get so anxious and worried. That's just fast food and just with driving. We're not even getting into areas in our lives. We're not even getting to the point of where we don't know exactly what's going to go on for our life and for the long term, we get impatient. Boy, I remember when I graduated from college, and the only reason why I went to college was to find a wife. That's the only reason. To tell you the truth, and I'm not meaning this to slander the college or anything, I didn't learn a lot in college. Maybe it's because I didn't apply myself. Maybe, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't learn a whole lot. A lot of stuff that they already talked about, I already knew. Why? Once again, I had a good foundation. I had parents that taught me from a young age all the way up. I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. The whole way through. I got exposed to a lot of things early on, especially with Preacher. He took me under his wing and took me to different places like Dominican Republic and all of that. And I was preaching already at 16 years old in rest homes and different things like that. So I had already had a strong foundation. So I went to Bible college just thinking, okay, I'm here to find myself a godly wife. And I graduated from Bible college single. And I think, wow, that was just about a waste of 4 years and how much thousands of dollars. I don't even talk with my friends from college anymore unless they want to come and be a missionary and, you know, present their work at the church, you know, Sarah Vong. But but I'm sitting there and I come back here and I'm thinking, well, this is great. Now what? I grew up here. I knew there was a reason I went to Bible college to find a wife. And I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. And I got impatient. Why? Because I wanted certain things in my life, and it wasn't on God's timetable at that time. One of the hardest verses in the Bible is, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But we know the verse. To wait on God means we are ready, or we think that we're ready, but God knows it's best for us not to have it in the time that we want it. So we have to wait on God. I'll be honest with you. I would love to walk into my job and say, hey, I'm going full-time at the church. Goodbye. But it's not right. It's not God's timing. So I'm waiting. And it can be hard. Because we see certain things in our life that we want. We see certain things that we say, boy, this would so be nice if I could just have this in my life, or I could just do this, or I could have this. And we start getting all these ideas in our minds, and yet God's just sitting there saying, oh, hold off. It's not ready for that yet. You got to be patient. And if we push it and we get impatient, what ends up happening is, and I've seen this happen, is people force the hand of God. And they say, well, you know what, I'm just going to do this because I want to do this. And once again, we are poking holes in our foundation again. And say, well, you know what, regardless if this is right or not, I'm just going to do it, and then I'm just going to live with the consequences. And it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. And we force God's hand. I know people that are married to the wrong person because they forced God's hand. And then they wonder why their foundation's all messed up. They wonder why they have struggle. Well, you know, we got impatient. Now, God can still work in their lives, and God can still do amazing things. Why? Because He's God. Because He can take and put the piece back a whole lot better than I can and make it strong again. We just have to take the work to do it, though. But we got to get back to getting a strong foundation rather than just getting impatient and just barreling through and just deciding I'm going to do what I want to do and just go about it and just live with the consequences. There are some consequences that are too great to live with. David's consequences were, Clyde and I were on our way to Eagles Manor, and he had on some radio station, and the man was preaching about David and his consequences. His consequences were too great for him. It's too much. He was never the same. He didn't think about the consequences in the moment that he was being impatient, the moment that he wanted her, the moment that he dipped his morals. He lost his virtues, and his foundation got weaker. He didn't think of the consequences that were coming. He lived for the moment. And his foundation got weaker, and the consequences were too great for him. He was never the same. Never. His writings after that changed. His effect that he had on the country changed. He was no longer David the great king. He was just David the king who stole Bathsheba. We have to think of our consequences of our actions and our foundation that's there based off of our decisions. So we replace faith with doubt. We replace our virtue with doing whatever pleases us. We replace our knowledge with laziness and complacency. We replace our temperance with having no filter and no self-control. We replace our patience with impatience. We become short-tempered, irritated, and not willing to wait on God. We replace then godliness with worldliness. Once again, going back to the show, what would it do? What would it do? It's just a little tiny bit of worldliness. How much can that really hurt my foundation? Well, it hurts a whole lot more than what we think. godliness. Why is it that our churches are dwindling across the country? Why? Because our churches are losing godliness. Where Christians take a stand for what's right and say, thus saith the Lord God, I'm not going to do that because that's just garbage right there. I'm going to take a stand for what's right. We're weakening ourselves and we're weakening our stance and we're weakening our positions on all these different things, and we're watering down Christianity and we're weakening our foundation. We're weakening our foundation for our next generation rather than standing true on the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord God, this is what it says, regardless if I like it or not, that's what I have to do because the Bible says so. It used to be a day where we would stand up there and would preach and people would say, all right, that's what the Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to live in, to the best of my ability, a godly life. And it would have an effect on our society and it would have effect on our area. But because of the fact that the churches are watering down, they're changing the Bible, they're introducing all these weaker versions that aren't even the real Word of God because they've changed it so much. They're watering down their music. They're watering down their standards. They're watering down their convictions. There's no godliness anymore. And then we wonder why our society is so messed up that everybody thinks that killing cops is okay. We wonder why people treat the veterans the way that they do. We wonder why people have all these different things of how marriage is, it's okay if you have an open plural marriage. We wonder why it's okay that our country has legalized same-sex marriage. And now we're legalizing drugs. We wonder why the problem is. The problem is that our foundations have been damaged because the Christians are not living godly lives anymore. We're watering it down, and then the next generation takes the next step, and our foundations are so weak that our society and our culture and our customs that are here in America look for us to be godly examples, and they have no godly examples, so they just do whatever they want. Because we're not godly anymore. Well, I remember a preacher was talking about how there were times that he would wake up early in the morning and he would see his mama praying. He's talking about how he would come home at night and he'd try to step up the stairs real quietly because he'd been out late, and he'd hear his mom praying. I think it was in the kitchen, that she please be with Sheldon. She calls him that because it's his mama. I don't call him that. I call him Pastor Shear out of respect for who he is and the position that he has. But she would sit there and be praying for him that he would be safe and that he wouldn't be doing anything that would ruin his testimony. And she was a godly mother that was earnestly praying for her children. And we have that anymore. Are we too lazy and too worldly to sit there and get on our knees and beg God that God would do something great with our children? That we would live lives that we could start them off with a good foundation because of the example that they have in us? Are we godly anymore? Are we just going to let the world infiltrate our church and infiltrate our Christian lives and change us and water us down so that they don't have an example of what a Christian is supposed to be like? We replace godliness with worldliness. You notice with the tower as it goes up, it kind of gets a little harder. If you think about it, faith, all right, that's kind of easy to put our faith in God for salvation. You want us to live a moral life? Okay, I can live a moral life. Brotherly kindness, that gets a little harder. Why? Because some people aren't easy to be kind to. They're not. But for us, it's part of the foundation. It's what separates us as Christians from everybody else. Sometimes as Christians, we get so caught up in the concept of what we believe that we lose the kindness in it. We're afraid to have a little kindness towards people. Oh, I'm going to be so strong on this area. That's okay. And anybody that knows me knows I'm going to stand where the Bible says. I'm not going to move and say, okay, I'm going to change my standards because of society and all of that. I'm going to still, if the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong, I'll preach against homosexuality. But I'll be kind to the homosexual. Yeah. I have a co-worker of mine that has that lifestyle. I'm kind to him. I don't treat him like dirt. I don't treat him as like he's a second-rate person. I'm kind to him. I've invited him to church. He's even been at our church probably about 8-9 years ago. Sat about where Jason's sitting at on a Wednesday night. And people were kind to him. Why? Because that's part of our foundation. If we lose that, we lose the foundation, and then we lose the example of how a Christian is supposed to be. Our morals are still at the bottom, our foundation. Our morals are there. Just because I'm kind to somebody, I talk with my coworkers and I'll tell them, I will never agree with your decisions to go out drinking on a Friday and Saturday night. Because they're drunks. But I can be kind to them. I don't agree with their decisions. I don't agree with their lifestyle, with the fact that they go off and they just drink and do whatever they want and live however they want. I don't agree with it. But my core values down here at the bottom, my virtue is still right. My morals are still right. So I can be kind to them and it's not going to hurt me. We have this concept that if we're kind to them, then it might damage who we are. No, because our morals are at the bottom, and that's what's the most important part. That's our foundation. So we can be kind to them. But if we're not kind to them and we lose that kindness, and I know this is brotherly kindness too, and meaning towards Christians too. But if we're not kind to people, they don't see an example. Why would they want to come to our church if we're so hateful? They're going to come. We're going to lose the ability. Now, we can still preach about sin, but we can still love the sinner. I'm glad that God hates my sin, but loves me. So if God can hate my sin, but still love me, then I can hate the world's sin, but still love the sinner enough to have compassion towards them. Because that steps right into charity. What happens? Well, when we have brotherly kindness that's wrong, and we're not kind to Christians, we're not kind to other people that are here in the fold, it flows over towards how we treat other people that are not Christians. But if we're not kind to Christians and we're not kind to those that come in and shake their hands and talk with them and socialize with them and have a part with them and actually care about them, what happens is then the next step that we're supposed to add to our brotherly kindness, which is that charity. That's that love that you're able to give without expecting anything back. And if we ruin that, we ruin our foundation. We have no charity. What happens when we have no charity, we replace charity with cold-heartedness. We don't just care about anybody anymore. We don't care if they die and go to hell. I'm okay. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is with Hezekiah. Where it says there's peace in my time. My generation, I'm okay. It doesn't matter that my kid, Manasseh, is going to end up being carried off. It doesn't matter that theirs is going to go through all this problem. I'm good. We replace charity with cold-heartedness. We just don't care. We're dead. And all the way our foundation has been weakened and weakened and weakened and weakened. And the moment that a storm comes and hits our life, what happens? We become a mess. Just as Clyde and Jason had that thing going up and it going up, the slightest wrong move and everything came crashing down. Why? Foundation. As Peter is writing here in verse 8, for if these things, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, those eight things, you shall never fall. Never fall. Why? Foundation's right. Let's pray, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, my heart has been pricked and convicted tonight. Lord, I need to do better than what I am with these eight areas. Lord, I pray that as a church, our personal foundation would be solid. We would not allow the outside influence that would get in, that can change it and weaken it and soften it. Or that we would take a stand and say, I want to make sure my foundation's right. For my sake, for my kids' sake, for my grandkids' sake. I can pass that down. Lord, help us to take this seriously. And understand how serious it is to you. My head's about eyes closed, no one looking around. We don't have a time of invitation. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. And as Nancy begins to play, it's time for us to move. It's time for us to act. What have we replaced on our foundation? What is it that's weakened? Is it our faith, our faithfulness? Is it our morals? Have we taken that time to diligently study the Word of God? That temperance? That patience? We're just going to trust in God? To say, God, whatever you have, I'm going to trust in you. We're going to replace that godliness with worldliness. We're going to replace that brotherly kindness with bitterness and envy and wrath and backbiting and gossip. We're going to replace that charity with that cold, dead heart. All the while weakening our foundation. And when the storm comes, it all comes crashing down. It's time for us to self-evaluate. Where am I at? Where am I weak at? What do I need to strengthen? What do I need to repair? Hey, that foundation that had that water damage, it could be repaired. It can be fixed. But the longer that you leave it, the worse it becomes. Go ahead, take a Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you've had some doubt about your salvation. We can get that settled. Maybe you've not been scripturally baptized. Jaden's already on his way up. Maybe you'd like to join him if you've not been baptized. Maybe if you've not joined our church, that this is a decision that you want to do. We can do that. But once again, how's your foundation? Can others see Christ in you? There's room at the cross for you. In our church, we don't close the invitation until everybody's done. There's still room. There's still time. We're not in a hurry. Let's make some decisions tonight, though. Let's make decisions tonight that could affect the rest of our life. It can happen if we allow God to do it. He is strong enough and powerful enough to do it. The decision is us. Falls to us. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd be with decisions tonight that were made. Lord, only You know the true decisions that were made. And Lord, I don't know. People could come forward and people could sit at their seats, but Lord, You know our hearts. You know what we need to get taken care of. You know what I need to get straightened. Lord, I pray that we would make sure that we would take the steps as we leave here to follow through on our decisions. Lord, we could look back and say that tonight is the night that we really got some things taken care of in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hurry, you may be seated. I'm going to head up there to get ready for baptism. Clyde, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you come up and lead? Page 107 in our psalm books, So Little Time. All right, page 107, and I'm going to head up.